Would you please join me in prayer? Lord, I pray for strength and boldness, Lord, and I pray that through this message, Lord, that the power of your Spirit would be felt and experienced, Lord, that this word would go out today among us, and Lord, that it would bear fruit back to you, that through your efforts of Humble Bible Church, that you would be glorified and magnified, Lord, to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you all know, today's topic is the mission statement or purpose statement of Humble Bible Church. A couple months ago, as I had been praying about and contemplating on what books to preach on, you know, as we came to the end of Daniel, this kept coming into my mind as a topic. I couldn't shake it. I felt it was important to review our purpose statement as we began a new year, but also I thought it would be an important topic to discuss as I transitioned into the pastor role. I kind of talked about my thoughts about this with Bill and with Josh, and Bill reminded me that we've had a purpose statement that's been about the same for about 40 years. So as we commemorate today by doing a passing of the baton, I also thought it was a good idea to show my solidarity with that statement by reviewing it with you and showing the scriptural support for it as well. So as you know, I love to include an introductory picture every time I do a presentation for you guys. I've gotten some feedback from some people. They're like, I love when you throw in those pictures because it gives me an image in my head. I almost didn't include one. Initially, when I was putting these slides together, I was just like, I'll just have, you know, the title on the top, and I'll slap the purpose statement there. But no, it bothered me. I had to have a picture there. So as I considered, well, what picture do I use as we talk about our purpose statement? As I thought about this, I started thinking, all right, well, where is the church located? And I had an image come to mind, and the initial image was an image of a light shining in the darkness. At first, I considered a light shining on a dark hill, but then I thought, well, the hill's over there. The church ain't exactly on a hill. So as I continued my search, I came upon another picture, and that one kind of stuck with me, a picture of a lighthouse. Why in the world a picture of a lighthouse? What in the world does that have to do with the church out in the middle of the country? Well, how about this? I'm going to read you a description of the purpose of a lighthouse, and we'll see if we don't fit that bill. Says here, lighthouses and beacons are towers with bright lights and foghorns located at important or dangerous locations. They can be found on rocky cliffs or sandy shoals on land, on wave-swept reefs in the sea, and at entrances to harbors and bays. They serve to warn mariners of dangerous shallows and perilous rocky coasts, and they help guide vessels safely into and out of harbors. The messages of these long-trusted aids to navigation are simple. Stay away. Danger. Beware. Or come this way. As I read this description, I thought, this is perfect. It's a perfect picture of the purpose of the church in general. The church serves to warn non-believers and believers alike of danger. The danger of not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The danger of the coming day of God's righteous judgment. The world is full of all sorts of dangerous shallows that people could get hung up on, or dangerous rocks that they could fall up against. The local church physically sits where it does, as we think you know, where are all the churches in the area? Well, God placed them where they are for a reason. To guide those around it from the dangers of the world and towards the safety into the harbor that is Jesus Christ, who is the only way to the Father and the only way through which forgiveness of sins and salvation is attained. We're here to warn. Stay away from sin. Beware of the lies and the deceit and the false religions. Come this way towards Christ. So, for this reason, I chose this image of the lighthouse to serve as an image for our minds today, to consider the purpose of the church in general to begin with. And then building on this, I'd like to read aloud the purpose statement of Humboldt Bible Church. And then the plan is to begin by, I've broken it up into kind of three main parts. So here we go. The purpose of Humboldt Bible Church is to honor the Lord by bringing our lives, by bringing lives into harmony with Him and one another through three things. Evangelism, which I think is wonderful, but that's listed first. Edification and fellowship. As I relate this to the lighthouse image, consider the following. Through evangelism, we're to shine our light into the dark storm. That's why, see, I picked the picture that had waves crashing all around. That we want to shine our light through this dark storm and guide those who are lost into safe harbor in Jesus Christ. Through edification, we strengthen believers as they navigate through these stormy waves of life to safety in the arms of Christ. And through fellowship, we all dock together in the safety of the peaceful harbor of the kingdom of Christ. So beginning in this order with the topic of evangelism, well, for those of you that like to follow along in your Bibles today, I'm going to tell you it's going to be a marathon. So we're going to be going through a lot of passages. And so if, you know, at the end you want to get all the different passages, if you want to just take it easy today and just let everything soak in, I'm more than happy to provide all the verses that we, all the passages that we're going to go through. So for those of you that do want to turn, we're going to start looking at Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So, you know, most of us have probably heard this passage. It's known as the Great Commission. And in it, we hear the command of the Lord to his disciples, the apostles. He commanded them to go out into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded. Jesus passed on the work that he began to his disciples. And then, as Bill had mentioned, you know, Paul ended up passing on his ministry at some point to his disciple, Timothy, right? And through the generations, from disciples to disciples, this same commission has now been passed down to us. Not just the church leaders, but to us as individuals. And that's fantastic. You know, we're all in this big relay race. We're all running the same race together, right? So it's not enough that we ourselves believe and come to church every Sunday. You know, it's not enough. The Lord wills for all believers to shine his light into the world so that more find faith in Jesus Christ and follow after him. And then they will take his message and they will continue spreading that on and on and on and on. 1 Peter 3:15 through 17. "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ might be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Nestled in this passage is a direct command to all believers from Jesus. Always be prepared. That's what sticks out in my mind. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. From the Great Commission, we see this general call for the church to go out and spread his gospel. However, in Peter's passage, it implies that, you know, there's going to be times where we might not think about it and an opportunity might come out of the blue. So for this reason, we must be prepared at all times as we go about our daily lives. Who knows when someone might question us about our faith? And are we prepared at all times to share that important message? All have sinned. All deserve death and judgment. However, Jesus Christ as Lord, God, Savior, laid his life down for all, that whoever would believe in him would pass from death into eternal life. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 15. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care of how he builds on it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. And if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. In this wonderful passage from the book of Corinthians, we see a beautiful picture about how all believers in God's kingdom, we're all working together. We all play a part in the spreading of God's message and turning others from darkness to faith in Christ. Paul and Apollos were fellow believers and servants of the Lord. And Paul says, one planted, one watered, but God caused the growth. So about as we go about our daily lives and serve God by doing what we can to share his message and living godly lives, know that we may end up planting a seed, or we may end up watering a seed already planted. The people we share with will either have never heard God's message before, or perhaps whereby we're planting the seed, or perhaps they've been witnessed to 1,000 times before, and we're just watering a seed already planted. But I want you to take comfort in the fact that Scripture says God causes the growth. We're only responsible for planting the seeds or watering the seeds. We don't need to be experts in everything, as God has gifted each of us with different abilities related to the sharing of the gospel. Just take comfort in knowing that this act of a person coming to faith, God causes that growth. Jude 1:20 through 23. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt, save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. As we go about our lives, praying to God constantly for wisdom and insight to show us opportunities that he might place before us, we have an instruction from him. When we face those that are having doubts, believers having doubts, it happens. Show them mercy. When faced with those who don't know the Lord, do your part, and you're actually snatching them from the fire. I kept thinking about that this morning. I think that's such an amazing thing. Imagine, hypothetically, right? Imagine God speaks to you and he says, in 30 days I'm coming. And about 99% of the people around you, they don't know me. And they're going to perish. What would you do knowing that? Right? What would you do knowing, say, 99% of the people around you did not know the Lord and you know that they were going to perish? They needed to hear God's word. You know, would that change how you went about your day? And we don't know when the Lord's going to return, right? But that is our situation. You know, most of the world does not know the Lord. And when we take part in either watering or planting a seed and that person comes to know the Lord, we have helped with the Lord to snatch them out of the fire. And I think that that's amazing. And to those caught up in sin, it says, show mercy with fear, knowing that sin is contagious. Contagious, contagious. We're called to hate the sin, and it's implied that we keep a good distance from it by hating even the garment stained by the flesh. James 5:19 through 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This message speaks to those among us who might wander from the truth of the gospel. And what a loving thing it is to do, to be brave and courageous and speak to this brother or sister. That by doing so, if they turn back, we've saved their soul from death, covering a multitude of sins. Now, as to the second part of our purpose statement, edification, we'll start with a passage from Acts. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 32. And this one's pertaining more, you know, to the leadership in the church. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men, speaking twisted things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So as I mentioned, you know, so why not start with church leadership when we talk about edification, right? Because it starts with your leaders. This passage deals with the leaders, the pastors, the elders of the church. Your church leadership is a great responsibility, a great and honorable responsibility to its members. We're called to pay close attention to you. Why? Well, there's wolves out there. There's wolves on the outside and people spring up on the inside, and your leaders have to deal with them both. So know that, you know, whether it be through Sunday sermons or small groups, you know, we're trying to instruct you, we're trying to teach you, all of us together, we're trying to lead you to make sure that that you know sound biblical doctrine, right? We have a charge. Know that we have a charge too. You know, does it end there? You know, does the leadership here at Humble Bible Church, does it end with us just being up here on stage and or, you know, leading this? Like, our job is to really get into your lives. And so, because of our love and concern for you, you know, if you get people from leadership that approach you to talk about something that's important, we have to. The Lord's given us that responsibility to do it. But know that we do it because we love you too. It's not always easy. That's not an easy thing to do all the time. So we do it out of love for you. We do it for your safety. And to see that you're built up and strengthened in your faith. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Oh, I love this verse. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. At Humble Bible Church, we firmly believe this. This is why we preach through the Bible, book by book, passage by passage. It says here, all of scripture is breathed out by God. Every word in there, breathed out by God. It's his word and without error. And teaching and studying God's word is necessary that you may be completed or made complete and equipped for every good work. There's a mixture of ways that happens, right? We do that through, you know, getting up here and trying to preach the truth from the pulpit. We try to do that in our, you know, small groups, which have a different purpose, by the way. I mean, you know, Sunday message is meant to kind of give you the message, right? We kind of launch it out at you. And then small group is meant to bring you in and draw you in to get you connected with it, to get you wrestling with it, to get you really thinking about it. But also, you know, y'all got to do your part too. You got to be in the Word. You got to be in the Word at home. You got to think through, how can I work studying God's Word into my week? It's very important. Because look, it says that that the man of God, or woman, we'll throw in woman there, you know, a godly person, they'll be complete through the studying of God's Word. And, you know, some additional things that I feel like has been kind of laid on my heart, and I've shared with leadership here. You know, we're looking at starting up the Sunday school group again. And, you know, I've got some thoughts about different topics that I'd like to cover. We got one that'll be coming up where we're gonna do some training in evangelism. I stand up here and I keep telling y'all how important it is to evangelize. And I don't blame you if some of you are like, but I don't know how to share the gospel. Well, all right. Well, it's our job to make sure you know how to. So, you know, we're going to try to provide you with the tool set by training you in, you know, over time in different ways that we can share the gospel with others. But we also want to cover other topics, you know, that are kind of interesting. You know, whether it's we cover topics like, you know, creation, the flood, age of the earth, you know, stuff that we're constantly seeing in the news, scientists, you know, saying the earth is, you know, billions of years old and all that stuff. And well, we want to spend time talking about what the Bible says and what godly Christian scientists say. And various other theological topics. We want to make sure that you guys are well rounded out. So I'm excited to be able to work together with the rest of the leadership to provide that additional training for you all. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Peter provides us with this really neat imagery of all the members of the church being living stones. Look around in this building here. Look at all these stones that are stacked one up on top of another, right? We're building a building also as living stones. And each of us is a piece of that building that is the kingdom of God. Jesus, of course, is the most important part. He's the cornerstone. But we who believe, we're all part of the same building. And through edification, we're being built up together into a spiritual house that Peter refers to. And he calls us a holy priesthood. All of us, all of you are holy priests. Sorry, Catholic Church, but we are all priests. And, you know, priests all serve God. That's what a priest was. They were a servant of God. And they all had a part to play in that service. And through this service to God, not only do your leaders here serve you to build you up, but you are all also out there as holy priests to build up one another. We're all called to play a part in the building and holding up of one another. And as you think of yourself as a living stone from Peter's imagery, consider this, right? Imagine you're a stone halfway up. Well, pick a stone on the wall that's halfway up. Below you are other stones. Other stones have lifted you up. Now look above that stone. Above you, you're helping and supporting other stones that are laid on top of you. So when you think about the church, think about that imagery as we think about how all of us work together as a congregation to edify one another and to build one another up. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. So an instruction regarding when we come together as a church. We all have this part to play, as you know, we mentioned about being part of a building. And we're given some examples here, but you know, we're not limited to these. We can build one another up through prayer, as we do every morning, or through the prayer chain as we pray for one another. Or through giving verbal encouragement to one another. Lord knows that we need that. Or support. We're told that all that we do amongst one another should be to build one another up. And again, this is not just a call for leadership, but this is a picture of the church. This is how we're all supposed to be contributing to one another. Now we move on to the third part pertaining to our purpose statement, fellowship. So to begin with that section, we'll start with Hebrews 10:19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. We heard the day talked about in an earlier passage. The day is drawing near. Focusing on verse 24, we're instructed to consider how we might stir one another up to love and good works. However, look what he says right after that. He says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. I mean, he's kind of calling some people out here in Hebrews. How can we stir one another up to love and good works if we're not doing our best to regularly attend church? You know, and this isn't a call where I'm saying, you must come to Humboldt Bible Church. You know, the author of Hebrews here is saying, all Christians should be regularly attending church, just point blank. And why? Can't we just read the Bible at home and get it all figured out and we're a Christian? Nah, we don't need to come together, right? All right, again, how can we stir one another up to love and good works if we're not rubbing elbows with one another, right? So Hebrews says that some are neglecting to meet together. Such an important passage. You know, and I know it's true, you know, who doesn't have a lot of responsibilities at home? But I think it's important that we honor God. I think it's important. I mean, he's called us to honor his Sabbath, right? And most of us choose to honor that on Sunday as we come together in church. Very important. But how do we honor this day without coming together to be with one another? So that we can also stir one another up. Think about this. You know, if you kind of go off on your own island, you can start believing whatever you want about the Bible, even if it's dead wrong. How are you going to be held accountable by other believers? How are you going to be held accountable by people that offer differing perspectives of or interpretations of God's word, right? And through being together with the church as a whole, you can be like, okay, maybe what I was thinking was a little wacky, right? It doesn't seem to be in line with what the wholeness of the conservative church is teaching, right? So it's necessary. It's necessary for your safety. It's necessary so that people can build you up, as we were talking about the spiritual house being built with spiritual stones, right? You know, you don't want to be a single stone in the pile off in the dirt, and the rest of the building is being built over here, and you're sitting all the way out there. You want to be a part of that building. And so it's very important that we're all consistently meeting together. Now, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. I love how this passage is worded. We're spoken of as fellow citizens. We're citizens of heaven first. A lot of us are very patriotic, but our first and greatest patriotism should be to the kingdom of God. Fellow citizens of the kingdom of God, and all believers are fellow citizens together with all the other saints. We're fellow citizens of God's kingdom with all the saints across the whole globe. How cool is that? I've heard it said that at Humble Bible Church, in some way it seems everyone's related to one another, right? Who hasn't heard that? Well, you know, for some of us, that sounds great. Hey, my family's here. My aunt's here. My uncle's here. Grandpa's here, right? Cousins are here. Grandkids are here. But, you know, not everyone has felt that way. Some people kind of feel like, well, they come here and this isn't an accusation. I'm just sharing, you know, some concerns that I heard. And they were thinking to themselves, oh, well, but I'm not related to them. Well, here's my answer to this. Whether you're related by blood or not, we're one single family here. In fact, we're one single family with all the churches of God across the world. We're one family. The spirit that connects us is far stronger than our bloodlines. I've often told this, as I've talked to some of the kids at youth group, I tell them this. I said, you know, I hate to say it, but not all your relatives are going to heaven. If they don't know the Lord, right, they're not going to be there. So you tell me what's a stronger family bloodline, the spirit or the blood, right? So we're closer to one another by the spirit which connects us than we really are by the blood. And so, you know, for that reason, when I come here, the way that I look at this church is we're all family members together. We're all brothers and sisters together. So, you know, for those that may come here and be afraid, you know, if there's no blood connection there, I say, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. And we love you, and we welcome you. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, like the waves in our picture, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So out of this passage, I'm going to focus on verse 16. Now we were talking about buildings before. Now we're talking about a body. Imagine a human body. It says that all believers are joined and held together. As a church fellowship or church body, we're all supposed to be connected. Again, you gotta be around the fellowship to be and feel connected, right? It says that we're joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, so that if each part is working properly, the whole body can grow and build itself up in love. We need each other. We really do. As a major part of our purpose statement, we want to ensure many opportunities exist that facilitate bringing us together. It's as believers are brought together with one another and we learn together and we over time open up and speak and share with one another. It's as we do this that we sharpen one another. When our fellowship is strong, then all of us will be working together properly. It says here, if one joint is out of place, right? It implies if one joint's out of place in the body, everything might not work together. Imagine your arm, if you got, or your leg, or your back, or your neck. Any of you got an issue where you got one thing, just one bone or something not working right in there? Well, what does it do? Well, it's like 95% of my arm's working. I got this 5% that isn't doing its part. And then the whole arm ain't working together, right? So that's why he's using this picture of the body. So when we come together for fellowship, for potlucks, or small groups, or Sunday school, or the various things that we try to put together, you know, it's an opportunity for us to come together, to sharpen one another, to build one another up, so that we're all working properly. There's a danger in when we don't get good fellowship, we can fall into error, as I mentioned before. I know that I need you all. Do you know that? Every one of you? I need you. I need you for prayer. I need you for accountability. Even as your pastor, I'm a person. I'm not perfect. I'm held to a higher standard, but I need you. I need you all. And so I think I can say that you all need each other too. Very important. We all need encouragement and accountability. Who of us doesn't stumble? Ephesians 4:25 through 32. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Oh, actually, I think I got a double. Yeah, I doubled up on that. It's kind of a good one, so it's nice to read it twice. A lot in this passage, you know, when as I looked at it, I was like, you know, what's the commonality? There's a big focus on words that are coming out of our mouths, and there's a big focus on emotions. Think about this. I mean, especially for those of us who are married, okay? You know, think about maybe the early years. You know, first you're all in love and you get together and you're married. This is great. And then you move in together and then you're like, why do they brush their teeth that way? Why do they leave the toilet seat up or this thing or that thing, right? The longer you've been married, I'm sure that you could share all sorts of stories. You know, for those of you who've been married 30, 40 years or longer than that, right? As you get close to people, do you realize things that bug you about them? Okay. You know, the same thing happens in the church. But I would say, I'll argue, that people who don't abide by these words here, who aren't abiding by Christ's command for us to love one another and forgive one another, what do they do? I don't like them. They said this way. And I'm going to go to this other church. All right, cool. You want to do that? You go right ahead. You know what, though? You're not going to learn. You're not going to grow. How are you going to become complete in Christ? Just like a marriage. I heard this person I like to listen to, Jordan Peterson, you know, he's an interesting character. He's a conservative psychologist from Canada fighting the good fight against some of the stuff that's coming out up there. And I listened to a clip where he was talking about marriage. He kind of compared two different types of people. The ones who tend to, you know, end up where the marriage don't work quite work out. And the ones where it works out, right? But I want you, we're gonna take this, what I'm gonna tell you, we're gonna apply it to the church fellowship, right? So you take a group of people, you smash them together, you get them to fellowship, and they get closer and closer to closer, right? And then you start noticing things you don't like or things that bother you. They do this, they do that. All right. Well, now you got two options. Again, you can either commit to, the same thing you do in a marriage. Work out your problems. Work them out. And then you come out strong in the end. Or say you don't do that. You kind of commit your life to any time I see or hear or someone bothers me this way or that way, it's like I'm just scooting on to the next church. Well, by the time you die, you'll have been in like 50 churches. You know? But it hurts you. It hurts you. It hurts you because you ain't growing. You ain't pushing yourself. You're not learning to compromise. And you're not becoming better. You're not growing in patience. You're not growing in love. And so as I think about this passage here, it's like, you know, y'all, there's a danger. You know, as we grow closer to one another here, there's a danger. The devil's going to try to get into your heart and stir up trouble. He wants to break us up. Our own sin nature, there's danger there too. Right? None of us here claim to be perfect though, right? We've all stumbled in some way. All of us. So this can affect the church body when we don't see. We need to personally hold ourselves accountable for our words, for our emotions. And when it's too hard, well, you should have started with Christ in the first place. Because I'll tell you right now, Spirit of God, power of God, nothing is impossible. If you find that you're struggling with any of this stuff, and, you know, here I don't really see it, you know, but maybe it's hidden in the heart. Could be. Don't know. It's hard to see that. You pray. You ask God by His Holy Spirit to heal that. And it will be amazing because it will enable you to have closer and closer and closer fellowship. Man, it's amazing when you live a life dedicated to forgiving people as Christ has forgiven you, because you got the power to look past all of other people's faults. Right? You got the power to look past their faults, and it enables you to be close to people who are imperfect, because we're all a bunch of imperfect people. That we're called to love one another just as God loves us. Forgiving one another and showing grace to one another. You know, and that's how we continue building ourselves up. Just like, again, these bricks on this wall, they're still standing after all these years. A strong church will be like that. It'll stand forever and ever. Right? He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So, that's the three parts. Normally I'd go through and I'd, you know, give you, maybe five or six different main points, but the main points are the same, and it comes from the purpose statement, right? And that purpose statement says the purpose of Humble Bible Church is to honor the Lord by bringing lives into harmony with Him and one another. I love even the order that this is written through evangelism, right? Sharing the gospel with others. Edification, right? Getting in God's word, hearing God's word. And fellowship, coming together and being with one another, just as we're going to be doing with today's potluck. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for the honor and privilege, Lord, to be able to speak to them every week. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us and that you would build us up into a strong spiritual house. Lord, I pray that you would make Humble Bible Church to be a shining bright light like that lighthouse, Lord, that we would shine throughout this whole local community, Lord, that we would be used to draw those who don't know you to you, Lord, that you would use us to be a warning light to sinners or those who have, to believers who maybe they've wandered away. And I pray that you would use us and draw them back in, Lord, that they would be drawn into safe harbor. Lord, in everything, that you would be glorified and magnified forever, forever, and ever. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.